Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Good morning. Man, glad you guys are here. If you're a guest, my name is Trey Kelly. I'm lead pastor here. And really just thank you for joining us, kicking off a brand new series today. Question for you. How many of you would say you're a planner? Come on, be proud. We make the world turn, all right? I consider myself a planner. I'm one of those guys, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. I plan everything, except what I'm going to wear. It occurred to me when I got here that this is the same shirt, if you saw this week on social media, the promo for this series, I had on this shirt. And then I wore it today. I promise I have more than one shirt. If you're a guest, you're like, that's the only shirt he has. But I do. I love to plan. I'm weird. I actually plan to relax. I phrased that poorly. While relaxing, I plan. Like, our family sometimes takes these big trips, and now our kids play sports, so we can't take trips anymore. But used to, when we could, I would relax by planning those trips. I love to plan. I know many of you, maybe you don't love to plan. You just mooch off people that do, and you're welcome. I know this because I'm raising some. I have three sons. And you'd think all raised in the same house, they'd be the same. But if you have children, you know it's the opposite. They are completely different, and you're like, who raised you? I have three sons. We were recently having dinner, I think we're having dinner. It was a random night where we could actually all be home for dinner. We didn't have baseball palooza. And so we were talking about the summer. And one son, I'll tell you which, one son was just like, oh, I can't wait for the summer. I'm just going to have fun and relax. One son was like, oh, I'm so excited. I got a little bit to do each day, but then I get to chill. And one son said, I'm so stressed out because I don't have a plan for my summer. One of them's like me. And so part of my wife, who's also a planner, one of the things she's done to kind of help this in our house is we now have a monthly calendar that lives in our kitchen that she updates regularly, basically for our sanity, just so that we know what's going on. And again, I have one kid. I'm not sure he knows the calendar exists. Never looked at it once. I have one. He only looks at it because on the weekly calendar, she sometimes puts what we're going to have for dinner, and he wants to know what we're going to eat. And I have one son who studies it like it's the Bible. Different. Here's what I know. Even if you are not a planner, you have benefited from a plan. You've benefited from a good plan. If you've ever been on a trip that you didn't plan, but someone else did, you found out pretty quick if they were a good planner or a bad planner. We all benefit from plans. When you were in school, your teacher had a lesson plan. Have you ever taken a flight? There was a flight plan. If you ever had to go to the doctor, you broke something, an illness, there was a treatment plan. We all benefit from plans. We all need plans. Plans are valuable. Plans are helpful. Plans are good and useful for our lives. And just so we're all on the same page, here's what I mean when I say plan. A plan is a specific set of steps designed to help us reach an intended goal. Steps to help us reach a goal. See, that's how we know the difference between a good plan and a bad plan. Did it work? Even if you don't like to plan yourself, there have been times in your life when you needed a plan and you wanted it to be a good plan. If you have a friend who decided they were going to try to get back in shape, and they started losing weight, you realize, well, they've got a good plan. And so you ask them, what are you doing? What's your plan? And Maybe they shared it with you. Maybe they didn't. Who knows? When you brought your infant home from the hospital, and 6 weeks later, she still hadn't slept through the night. You begged the world for a good plan. Maybe something's going on in your life. Maybe things are a little out of control. Maybe when you look around, you realize this is not what I planned. It just doesn't feel like things are going according to plan. And it's into that moment, it's into that desire, it's into that tension, our Heavenly Father speaks. And he says, hey, I have great news. I've got a plan. And not only do I have a good plan, I have a perfect plan. Now, let me be very clear right at the top. God's plan is perfect. It does not mean our lives will be. Please let me be clear. The reason God's plan is perfect is because it applies in every circumstance. It doesn't matter where we are. It doesn't matter what we've done. It doesn't matter how far we think we've gone astray, how bad we think we've messed up. God's plan is perfect because we can always turn to it, we can always follow it, and it will always lead us back to him. And when we walk with him, our lives improve. They're not perfect. It doesn't mean bad things still won't happen. It just means God is with us. And I know, especially if you're new to faith, that's confusing. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense, which is why starting today, we're starting this new series that we're calling The Blueprint. And for the next few weeks, we are going to hopefully discover God's perfect plan for our lives. God's plan for my life, God's plans for your life, God's plans for all of our lives. The reason we're calling it The Blueprint is that's a picture I think most of us understand. If you've ever built a home, if you've ever renovated a space in your house, if you've ever overseen an upfit for an office building, if you've ever done anything like that, if you know anybody that did, you know it began with a set of plans. It began with a blueprint, with this perfect picture of what could and should be. But if you've ever actually built anything, you know pretty soon the blueprints are really just a suggestion. Because your contractor might have another idea, or your sub might have another idea, or maybe they're out of that part, or maybe they come back and the bid was like twice as high as you wanted it to be, and you were like, we have to reevaluate. See, in real life, blueprints can change. The beauty of God's blueprint, the beauty of God's plan, is that it's eternal. It's unchanging. It is the same yesterday, today, and forever. All we have to do is simply choose to follow it. And so what I want to do today, and for the next few weeks, is dive into one letter in what we call the New Testament to discover God's plan for our life. See, this collection of documents God's given us, we call the Bible, both the Old and the New Testament. It's really just one story, and it's about God's plan for our life. The New Testament begins with four biographies of Jesus. And then the fifth book is a history of the early church. And then we have letters written by men who followed Jesus to instruct the first Christians on how to be Christians. This guy named Paul, we talk about a lot at our church, wrote about half of what we call the New Testament. He wrote most of the letters we have in the New Testament. And most of the letters he writes to specific churches to address specific issues. They're struggling. They're churches that Paul started, and they've asked him questions, and so he writes back to give them instructions. But the letter we're going to look at in this series is the letter he wrote to the church at Ephesus, and this letter is different. We think he wrote this letter near the end of his life, and it's as if when Paul wrote this letter, he said, okay, I'm going to write this letter to the church at Ephesus, but I want them to pass this around to every church. And I am going to put as best as I can on paper God's perfect plan for his people. And so what we're going to do for the next 6 weeks is we're going to study this book. We're going to study this letter. In fact, we're going to do the best we can to study one chapter a week, which means if you want extra credit for next Sunday, read chapter 2 before you get here. Because really, we are going to just basically walk through this letter together. And man, if you're brand new to church, I know you're like, man, this sounds overwhelming and daunting. That's why we're doing this in here. Because part of the reason I want to do this is because I want to help us all learn the Bible's approachable. The Bible's practical. The Bible makes sense. And we can read it. And we can understand it. And as we read and understand it, we can discover the blueprint for our life. And so, if you have your Bibles, I'd love you to open them to the book of Ephesians. If not, it's going to be up here on the screen. And I just want to walk you through chapter 1 of this letter that Paul writes to the church, but really to us. And this is really an introduction. Okay, there's a chance after today you might leave with more questions than answers. That's fine. We have 5 more weeks after today. The goal is after all the 6 weeks, we have a full and complete picture. You will not have a full complete picture today. Just like if you read the first chapter of a novel, you would not have a full complete picture of that story. But if you'll hang with us, if you join us online for the next 6 weeks, I'm convinced that by the time we're done, you're going to see clearer than you ever have the power and the perfection of the plan God has for every single one of us. And I say every single one of us because if you're breathing, he's got a plan for your life. And he invites you to follow. So I want to dive in to Ephesians 1. As I said, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them up. If not, we're going to have it up here on the screen. And here's how Paul begins this letter to the church at Ephesus. This letter designed to reveal to us God's blueprint for our lives. He says, this letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. I'm writing to God's holy people in Ephesus who are faithful followers of Christ Jesus. This is Paul's way of saying, hello, hope you're well. You know how you do in an email? Hi, so-and-so, hope you're doing well. Do you really hope you're doing well? Or do you just type that because that's what humans type? No, Paul's explaining. He says, hey, this is me. And he says, hey, I'm an apostle of Jesus. Apostle is not really a word we use much anymore. What does that mean? What does it mean to be an apostle? It means he was specifically chosen by Jesus to carry his message to the world. It means he was specifically chosen to write down Jesus' words and to speak on behalf of the Holy Spirit and to write down the holy scriptures that we still read and believe were God-breathed almost 2,000 years later. That's what an apostle was. It was someone who had seen Jesus directly. Paul himself had an encounter with Jesus, who heard from Jesus directly and who was given a special ability to speak on behalf, to strengthen God's church, as we're going to see in just a few weeks. And that's what Paul's saying. He's saying, that's who I am. And he says, I'm writing to the people in Ephesus who are Christians. And this is important. This letter is to Christians. This letter is to people who have chosen to place their faith in Jesus. Now, this is really important for us as we kind of dive into this because there's two different things that are going to be happening as we go over this for the next few weeks. One of the things I love about our church is every week we have people who attend our church who do not believe what we believe as a church. We have people who are checking out God, who are kicking the tires of faith, and we're honored that you're here. We've designed our church for you. And here's what I want you to know. If you consider yourself a Christian, everything we're going to talk about for the next 6 weeks is promised to you. It's yours. If you're here kind of checking out faith, everything we're going to talk about is possible. It's possible for you. And if you simply choose to accept what we're going to talk about for the next 2 weeks, and if you choose to follow, it becomes promised to you as well. So Paul says, hey, I'm an apostle. I've been chosen by God. I'm writing to God's holy people. And then he says this. He says, may God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Right at the top, he's just reminding us that our God and his son Jesus is the giver of all things. May he give you grace and peace. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. He's basically saying, hey guys, do you get the fact that because we became Christians, we were united with Jesus and we are blessed with every blessing? And here's the reality. The vast majority of them reading this letter were like, no, I didn't know that. No, I had no idea. Yeah, my butcher is a Christian. And I went to him one day and complained that the meat he sold me was bad. And he believed me, and he gave me new meat, and he didn't charge me for it. And I said, why are you being so nice to me? And he told me about Jesus. And I'd never had anybody be that honest with me before. And so I became a Christian because my butcher was a Christian, because he said that this was happening. But in terms of I'm united, I don't know what that means. What are you talking about, Paul? And Paul understood that most of these people had come to faith through conversations, but they didn't really understand the mechanisms of how everything worked. And so Paul begins to explain to them and to us how God's plan works, how it's put into action in our lives. And here's what he says. He says, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Now, I love this because so often we convince ourselves God's mad at us, God's frustrated with us, we don't know how God feels. We have this picture in our mind that God's this old dude up in heaven with a beard just waiting to zap us with lightning bolts when we mess up. You know? Either that or you believe God is Morgan Freeman. Your choice. So Paul is saying, hey, I want you to understand something. Before you were breathing, before you were born, God loved you. And not only did he love you, he chose you. And he chose you to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Well, how did he do this? He keeps explaining. He says, well, God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So God loved you. God wanted to know you. God decided to use his son as the mechanism by which he would reconnect with you, and he was thrilled to do it. He didn't do it begrudgingly. It's not like when you call, the caller ID pops up and he goes, oh, why are they calling again? No, it gave him great pleasure. Do you know God smiles when he thinks about you? Even if you don't think about him? Even if you don't believe in him? Even if you don't follow him, he thinks about you. And he smiles. And he wants to know you because he has a great plan for your life. And it's as if Paul gets overwhelmed by this truth because he says this and then he adds this. He says, so we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son. He's like, I'm overwhelmed when I think about this, when I think about the fact that the God of the universe loved me before I knew him and made a way for us to connect, I'm overwhelmed. And he's overwhelmed because Paul understood how it works. Some of us in this room may be like the Ephesians. I say, okay, that sounds cool, man, but again, I still don't really get what you're talking about. How did God choose us? How did God adopt us? How did God do this? And it's as if when Paul was writing, his spirit was like, you got to go deeper. You got to explain what he did. And so he does. Paul says, he, this is God, is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. He showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. Purchased our freedom with the blood of his son. What does that mean? Maybe you know the story. We just celebrated it last week. Jesus was God, came to earth, lived a perfect, sinless life, did everything his dad wanted him to do. At the age of 33, he was arrested by the religious leaders, handed over to the Roman government, and executed. He was killed on a cross. And what we as Christians believe was that was Jesus sacrificing himself to purchase our freedom. Because his blood paid the penalty for our mistakes. See, we call those mistakes sins. A sin is anything we do God doesn't want us to do. And God doesn't want us to sin because sin is harmful to our lives. It sabotages our lives. It also separates us from our Heavenly Father. He cannot be around sin. The only thing he can do with sin is destroy it. But remember, he loved us, and he chose us in advance, and he wanted to adopt us, so he had to pay the price. God, in his perfect justice, had to punish sin. He had to destroy it. He had to rid the world of it once for all time. And so he sent his perfect son, the only sacrifice big enough to pay for the sins of the whole world. And so he showered us with kindness by not punishing us, but punishing his son in our place. His son then came back to life, as we celebrated last week, to prove that we could too. That we could live a life that God planned for us and purchased for us, that he and he alone makes possible. That's what's available to us. And now that all that's happened, God is revealing to his apostle Paul exactly how this is all supposed to work moving forward. And that's what Paul says next. He says, because of all this, God has now revealed to us, Paul means himself and his fellow apostles, his mysterious will regarding Christ, which is to fulfill his own good plan. In other words, God's been at work the whole time, guys. This isn't new. This isn't a fix. This isn't a uh-oh. This is what God had planned to do. This is his good plan. Specifically, he's talking about his plan for Jesus, and his plan for Jesus affects us. But he says, this is his good plan. Watch this. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Let me read that and say, okay, great. What does that mean? Here's what it means. It means, at the right time, which I basically understand to mean when God has been patient enough to give every person possible the chance to choose him. Because he's a good, gracious, kind God. At the right time, the heavens and the earth will be united under Christ. You know what that means? That means he's the king. And he will be in charge of everything. And here's what we're promised about his kingdom. There is no sorrow in his kingdom. There is no crying in his kingdom. There is no pain in his kingdom. There is no death in his kingdom. It is perfect. So one day, it's all good. That is what he has been working at with Jesus the entire time. To reestablish his kingdom on this earth. And all of us who follow him will be with him in his kingdom. If you don't believe me, that's what Paul promises next. He says, furthermore, because we are united with Christ, those of us consider ourselves Christians, because we are united through him, we have received an inheritance from God. Notice that's in past tense. It doesn't say you will receive when you get your act together. It doesn't say you will receive when you break that habit. You've received it because you've believed. And an inheritance is not something you have to earn. An inheritance is a promise. He chose us in advance and he makes everything work out according to his plan. You know what that means? That means that inheritance we have of that perfect future with Jesus means even here and now, we can walk in confidence. We can walk in peace. We can walk in surety that our God, who has a perfect end planned, is even at work here and now to turn things to good. He's at work. He's moving. When we can't see what's happening, he can. When we're confused, he's not. Why? Because he loved us. And he chose us in advance, and he wants to adopt us, and he sacrificed his son. And he's got a great eternity planned for us. So great, in fact, that in the midst of whatever's happening here and now, no matter how great the struggle, no matter how great the pain, we can trust our God is good and he is at work to get us to that home. And I know what you're thinking. How do I know? How can I be sure? How can I trust that this is really what God wants to do for me in my life? I don't feel it all the time. I feel lonely. I feel depressed. I feel like things aren't going my way. How do I know? Paul answers. He says, well, see, God's purpose was that we Jews, Paul's talking about himself, Paul's from the Jewish faith, who were the first to trust in Christ, most of Jesus' early followers were Jewish. Jesus himself was raised Jewish. God's purpose was that we Jews who were the first to trust in Christ would bring praise and glory to God. In other words, that as all this was lived out in our lives, we would praise him and bring glory to him. We would make him known. We would let other people find out about the goodness of our God. And he says, and now you Gentiles, which is basically anybody who wasn't raised Jewish, all the Ephesians would have been Gentiles, have also heard the truth, the good news that God saved you, the good news we just talked about, that he loved you and he picked you in advance and wants to adopt you. And through his son, you can have the perfect future he's planned for all of us. Watch this. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. See, the Holy Spirit is the third member of what we Christians call the Trinity. We have God the Father. That's what you think about when you think about the old man or Morgan Freeman. That's God the Father. We have God the Son. That's Jesus, who existed in heaven for all time, came to earth in a humanly form, and now is in heaven in that earthly form, serving as our King. And then we have God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit is the one that is at move and at work in our hearts here and now. If you have ever in your life been sitting in a church service, you've ever been singing a song, and somehow that song overwhelms you to action. If you've ever been sitting in a church service and something that the pastor says connects with you, in a way you've never thought about it before. If you've ever been sitting and you're like, man, was that pastor reading my email this week? Like, how did he know that I was struggling with this? I promise you, we don't read your email. We have the greatest jobs in the universe because the Holy Spirit tells me what to say. And then as it leaves my mouth, before it gets to your heart, the Holy Spirit grabs it and takes it into your heart exactly how you need to hear it, exactly how you need to be prompted. And the Holy Spirit is the one who says, you can overcome this. Here's the step I want you to take. Here's the change I want you to make. Here's the promise that I want you to embrace. Here's the forgiveness you need to ask for. Here's the forgiveness you need to give. The Holy Spirit does that. If you read your Bible at home, the Holy Spirit is what helps you understand it. When you pray in the Holy Spirit. And so, if that has ever happened to you in your life, that's God's way of saying, hey, you're good. You're in, I promise. In fact, this is what Paul says next. He says, the Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so we would praise and glorify him. He did this so we'd be grateful and we'd tell others about him. So let's quickly recap, okay? Let's recap if we can. Let's recap God's plan. His plan was to make a way for him to reconnect with the ones he loved. And we are the ones he loved. And we are the reason we aren't connected. We're the ones who choose to sin. We're the ones who choose to go our own way. But he loved us so much. He wanted us back in his family so much that he sent his son to lay down his life to purchase our freedom. So that if we choose to place our faith in Jesus, we can be adopted back into his family, receive the full inheritance of a son and daughter, and live with the promise of a perfect kingdom waiting for us. In other words, here's God's plan for us to love him, trust him, follow him, and help others find him. And to make all this possible, he's not even asking us to do anything. Not only do we have God's plan, we have God's provision. You know what he did? He first loved us, saved us, and guarantees us a perfect future with him. You know what that means? He didn't just give us the blueprint. He bought the land. And he hired the subs. And he paid for the materials. And he's ready to oversee the project. All he asks in return is that we trust and obey. Hey, if you'll let me, I'll rebuild every area of your life. Hey, if you'll let me, if you'll trust me, I'll rebuild that marriage. Hey, if you let me, if you trust me, whew, I will rebuild your parenting. You let me, you trust me, I will rebuild that career. I will rebuild everything. And when you build with me, I take full accountability for everything that happens. And you can trust, even in struggles, that I'm working for your good. And I know that sounds just too good to be true. And I know my limitations, and I can't convince you it is. But my prayer is, if you'll hang with us for the next few weeks, that God's Holy Spirit will make himself known in your hearts, and that you will feel a pull towards Jesus and a pull towards this perfect plan so that you too can begin to live on the promise that raises the dead. as I said, today's just an overview. It's an intro. But I want to close how Paul closes the first chapter. He spends a few verses talking directly to the Ephesians, and then he begins to pray for them. And I want to read it over you because it's my prayer as your pastor for all of us for the next 6 weeks. It's my prayer for us as we begin this journey together to not only discover, but I hope to begin to delight and to find a determination to pursue God's perfect plan in every single area of our lives. And here's what he prays. He says, I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called his holy people, who are his rich and glorious inheritance. I pray your hearts are flooded with light. See, if you consider yourself a Christian today, our hearts get dark because we're in fear or because we've been running from God. And when we pray for our hearts to be flooded with light, all that does is open our eyes to the reality of the situation. It opens our eyes to the blessings God has placed there. It opens our eyes to the provision he's already given. And it's when we have a full accounting of what God's already done that it's easier for us to pursue him in the future. So I pray your hearts will be flooded with light. Also, I pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Our God raises the dead. And that power is available for all of us. Let's keep going. Now he is far above, Jesus, any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but in the world to come, a reminder that it is Jesus. It is all about Jesus. He is where we place our hope. He is where we place our faith. He is the architect. And he is the foundation. He is the cornerstone. Everything is built on him. This is how Paul ends. He says, God has put all things under the authority of Christ, and he has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. That's us. That's his followers. The church is his body, and it's made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. That's my prayer for us, that our hearts will be flooded, our eyes will be opened, and we will truly comprehend the greatness of Jesus, the one who made God's plan possible. God's plan, which is for us to love him, trust him, follow him, and help others find him. And here's how he made it possible. He first loved us, saved us, and guarantees us a perfect future. So it's simple today. If you're a Christian, ask the Holy Spirit to flood your heart with light and show you if there's anywhere you've deviated from God's plan. Is there anywhere you've stepped, anywhere you've started to go your own way? If so, let him gently, kindly, lovingly bring you back. Or if today you would say, man, I'm new to this whole thing. I didn't even know God had a plan. But boy, does that sound great. Am I invited? Not only are you invited, God loves you, and he chose you, and through his son, he's already purchased your freedom. It's right here, and today, you can choose to accept it, and you can choose to begin walking the life he created you to live. I invite us all to bow our heads and close our eyes for just a moment. And if you would like to become a Christian today, if you would like to begin following God's plan for your life, I'm going to pray a prayer and you just repeat it in your heart as I pray this prayer out loud. Say, Jesus, I want your plan for my life. Jesus, I admit I've been running my world. I've done things my own way, and it hasn't been a very good plan. I've made mistakes. I've sinned. I've hurt myself and other people. But I believe you have a perfect plan. I believe you made it possible by laying down your life for me. I believe you confirmed it when you came back to life. And so I commit to following you. I understand that if I just simply believe, if I place my faith in you, I become a son. I become a daughter with an inheritance. And I want to make the most out of that inheritance. I don't want to settle for anything less than God's absolute best for my life starting today. So I commit, Jesus, to you. You're my King. You're my Lord. I'll follow you. And I want you to keep your heads bowed. I want you to know, if you prayed that prayer, we believe something supernatural just happened. Your eternity just changed. And God has an absolutely incredible plan for your life that we're going to talk about for the next few weeks. And that plan is basically for us to take a series of steps towards Him. And one of the first steps He asks us to take is to go public with our decision to follow Him. And what we always do at Wellspring is we give people the chance to go public in a very private way. We've still got heads bowed. We've got eyes closed. I'm looking around. A couple of volunteers are looking around. But I'm going to count to three. And when I get to three, if you prayed that prayer, if you would say, today I've become a Christian, I just want you to raise your hand and keep it up as the first of a lifetime of steps of following Jesus. Ready? One, two, three. Just raise them up. Keep them up. Put them up high. It's the first of many of reaching out to your Heavenly Father. It's the first of many of reaching out for His wisdom and His love and His patience and His guidance and His peace. It's saying, I'm a son. I'm a daughter. I've been adopted. I've got a future. I've got a perfect inheritance waiting on me. And I'm done settling for less than God's best. Okay, you can put your hands down. And you'll look at me for just a second. I'm going to pray and we're going to sing a song. And as we sing this song, I want you to continue to invite God's Holy Spirit to flood your heart with light. And maybe when you're flooded, you are simply overwhelmed with the blessings of your life. If that's you, praise our Heavenly Father and bring glory to His name as we sing this song and as we leave this place. If when He floods your heart, He shows you a step to take towards Him, resolve to take it. And when He floods your heart, if you see, hey, I still want what they're talking about in here, join us in the Blue Room. And we'd love to continue this conversation with you. Because make no mistake, God loves you. He smiles when He thinks about you. And He sacrificed His Son to have a relationship with you. A God so loving, He sacrificed His Son, and a God so powerful, He can raise the dead. Has a perfect plan for your life. Let's not let the day go by without taking a step towards that perfect plan. Let me pray. God, we love you so much. We're so, so grateful for your Son. We're so thankful for the sacrifice He made. We are so thankful for the perfect plan you have for each of us. Father, open our eyes. Give us courage to step. And may we passionately pursue the plan you have for all of us. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.